So it wasn't to be in the end, was it? England just fell short at the final fence this morning, losing, of course, the World Cup final to Spain. We are going to look back at the game, look at where it maybe went wrong, what could have been different, how close we actually were to getting the right result. We're also going to look back on the tournament as a whole for the Lionesses and give out a few awards as well, like we normally do at the end of the season. We'll do it for the World Cup. This is over and over and over again. This is World Cup 2023. It will be the last one. So your last chance to listen to this great song from Pete Drake. Lionesses, you come so far, but don't forget though who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours. Giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go. So Pete Drake's great song has lifted us through the World Cup for the last few weeks, and we've loved it. And I've got a special treat at the end. We've got a slightly longer version to play out with tonight, just because it's going to be the final time that we'll hear it. Of course, joining us, as always, is Andreas and Amar. Andreas, first of all, how are you this evening?
I'm not bad at all, but although I had better days in the last week, and that's not the result I wanted. So I'm still disappointed, but on the other side, the runners up in the World Cup, we had 4 weeks of fantastic tournaments, so there's no reason to be desperate or totally. Yeah, it's part of the game. Sometimes you can't win, and it must be that the team gave their everything. And as I said, runners up in the World Cup is fantastic achievement.
Yeah, it is. And it's important that none of us lose sight of that fact. You know, yes, we're all disappointed today. It was a disappointing performance, really, but we'll get into that. Amar, as well, I thought it was good to see you again. Are you okay today, considering?
Yeah, I've had bad days. It was just disappointing the way it all panned out in the end. I know, but we will go see. It just goes to show that even though you go into a tournament, into a final as a strong favourite, you should never, you always underestimate the opposition, your peril. How many times have we seen it down the years? You underestimate them and they come and produce a performance like that. I mean, it's you have to give them full credit, but ultimately this is important. We learn from this and use it as a motivator going forward.
Yeah, hopefully that's what will happen. I mean, there's a lot happened in the game, really, a lot of different incidents and things to talk about, really. It wasn't, you know, although it only finished 1-0, there was quite a lot went on over the course of the, well, it turned out to be about 115 minutes, or whatever it was, about extra time. It seemed
that's right.
But yeah, I mean, obviously a lot to talk about. I mean, I think the first thing really that, I don't know, that kind of surprised me slightly, bearing in mind Serena doesn't generally panic into making changes. I mean, Andreas, what did you make of that at half-time? Because the first half hadn't been great. We'd had some chances, hit the crossbar. We'd done okay. Yes, Spain had got on top. They started to dominate the ball, especially in midfield. And obviously, they got the goal out of a mistake from our side. I was quite surprised that she made the changes and obviously changed the shape of the team at half-time rather than giving it another 10, 15 minutes in the second half, as she normally would. Do you think she panicked a little bit? Or do you think maybe that was the right decision, bearing in mind how the first half had gone?
After a match, it's always easier to say you should have done this or that. Now, I think we all knew that the first goal will be very, very important, and the team that gets the lead has an immense advantage. And I'm sure the match would have went totally different. Probably we would have won the match if Lauren Hemp's ball didn't go to the crossbar, but in the back of the net. But Spain was in the lead, and to be fair, Spain was the better team in the first half. So probably Serena thought, I must change something, and I must do something that surprises Spain, because when they are in the lead, it's perfectly fits to their style of playing, of ball possession, etc. And she wanted to surprise them and do something which Spain is not expecting. But therefore, the early changes. But in my opinion, if you take out Russo, Alessia didn't have a good match. So it's okay to take her out. But if you take out Russo, then you must play Rachel Daly as number 9. And if you take out Rachel Daly too, then you must play Bethany England as number But going in the second half with 1-0 down, without a central striker, without a number nine, this was a little bit astonishing. And I don't know. How can you score if you don't have a number nine on the pitch and you take off two number nines, two of your best strikers, and the other one with England just came in 3 minutes before end of the 90 minutes. I couldn't understand this. We are not so close to the team as Serena is, and normally she knows what she's doing. Probably she had her ideas, but it didn't work. She thought it would work.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really look at it like that, but you're right. Taking off the only two real main strikers that we had in the squad, potentially, or certainly the first choice strikers, did seem a little bit strange. Yes, Rachel Daly was playing as a left wing back, and maybe we did need somebody more suited to that position in the second half. So I kind of understood that to a certain degree, and certainly getting Chloe Kelly on to play in that, or Lauren Jones to play in that position made sense, I suppose. But what didn't make sense was making Russo off and playing Lauren Hemp as a centre forward when Lauren Hemp isn't a centre forward. And we saw as a second half progressed, we had some opportunities with getting the ball into the box, and we had no striker on the end there to attack the ball, did we? And that proves to be a problem. Yeah, I'd love to have spoken to Serena after the game and asked her what her thought process was with the changes, the players that she took off. Yeah, Russo hadn't had a great first half, but she didn't really get the ball. You know, but that's happened in some of the other games. In the second half, she's got chances and she scored important goals. And I felt that she was in the form that she was in, it was worth keeping her on because she was the player most likely to get a goal in that team. The way that this World Cup's gone, you know, she's popped up with crucial goals in the last two games. And I just felt that was a little bit too early to have made that call. At least 10 or 15 minutes in the second half, let's see how it went. And if it still wasn't working, you know, I would have maybe took Rachel Daly off and brought Lauren Hemp on maybe at half-time, or brought Chloe Kelly on if we had to make a change then. Taking Russo off and playing Hemp as centre-forward didn't make sense in the scheme of the match, did it? And I agree with you totally. And that was strained at the time. And it certainly doesn't make sense with hindsight looking back now when we've seen how the second half panned out. But she would have had her reasons for doing it, and we can't question Serena generally because she's got an amazing record and she's been fantastic. But yeah, that baffled me, the timing of it more than anything. Yes, it was strange to do it anyway, but the timing of it so early with so much of the game still left, I felt it seemed a little bit panicky to me. And she doesn't normally panic, does she, Serena? She's very calm and cool. And I've got the feeling that at half-time they had some conversations maybe in the changing room. She made a decision, and I don't know whether or not it was the right decision. Looking back on it, probably not. I mean, what did you make of that? Because it was early, wasn't it, to make such a big change to the whole structure of the team?
Yeah, no, I did surprise you. It was a tactical gamble, and ultimately it didn't pay off. And I think the only reason was because the back three, which had worked so well all tournament, I can understand maybe she took them off at half-time, they were saying to revert to the back four because Spain were looking dangerous every time they got forward. Remember, Paraguelo just hit the post on the stroke of half-time, and they had missed that sitter. Mm-hmm. She'd missed a fresh air shot from almost on 2 yards out, and Mary Oaks had made the save from Alba Redondo. And, she panicked into doing that was to maybe that try and counter that threat. But then, to leave, we would have left at least one of them on. I know Chloe Kelly and Lauren Hemp look very well with each other. But you can see Hemp and Russo partnership, which worked to such devastating effect in the previous rounds. It was kind of disrupted, and it kind of took away any potential threat that England had going forward. You see, apart from when they hit the bar, and Lauren James who forced that save out of Katarina Cole. We didn't really create that much going forward. And maybe if you could just kept them on for another 15, 20 minutes and then taken them off a ball, they might have made a difference. Even Beth England, when she came on, didn't really have much time to impact the game. It was one added time. So, yeah, it was a tactical gamble, but ultimately it backfired, and it's a shame, really.
It is a shame. I say, what kept going through my mind watching the game was the quarterfinal of the Euros last summer when we it was a very similar game. Spain were dominating the possession. They got a goal in the second half. That was later in the game as well, with less time for us to come back. And we didn't panic then, did we?
No,
In the last 10 minutes, we threw Millie up front, as we did today. It paid off. We got the goal. We brought some good subs on, didn't we? Russo came on, Toon came on. They combined for the equaliser in that game. But the one thing about that was Serena didn't panic, even when we went behind later on in the game. Whereas today, it seemed like we went behind early on. We were getting overrun in midfield, and the shape of the team maybe was wrong for this particular game. And I can understand her wanting to change it. But I don't know. I thought that was too quickly to like you said, I agree. I think that Chloe Kelly and Lauren Hemp do link up well, but that's when they're both wide and there's a striker in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
The clock is that they put in, and we didn't really do that because Hemp was then playing as a striker in the middle. And I don't know, it just didn't work, did it? Lauren James didn't get the ball anywhere near enough to be effective. Needed to be. We know how good she is running at defenders, causing problems. Yeah, that one effort, as we said near the end, when she brought a decent save out of the goalkeeper, but we didn't get her on the ball enough. If you're going to get her into the game, you've got to get her the ball. You've got to let her have the ball and run at people because that's what she's good at. And it didn't it didn't work at all today. None of it worked. The first half was a bit disjointed. The second half, the changes were made, didn't really work. And what disappointed me, and I don't want to feel disappointed because it's been a great World Cup. We didn't expect to reach the final. We said it on here, haven't we? We didn't expect to get this far. So the fact we've reached the final, we've overachieved in that sense to get there. But having got there, it's, you know, I just wanted to see and I hoped to see and expected to see an England team playing better than what we did today. And that's the thing that I feel most disappointed in. Not that we lost the game, you know, lose a game, it happens. Spain have a very good side, we know that. But it was just, I just didn't feel that we played anywhere near the level that we're capable of.
Yeah.
And even as well as we played in the last three or four games in the World Cup building into this game, that's what disappointed me most. Not that we lost, yes, obviously that's a disappointment, but I was more disappointed by the performance. Too many players today didn't seem at their best. Did the pressure get to them? Was it too much playing in a final? Did we over-celebrate winning the semi-final to get to the final? I don't know. There was a few issues. I mean, Andres, what did you make? Did you feel the performance today wasn't at the level we kind of have expected from this team in such a big game?
Yeah, it was not our best performance. I agree. The problem is that too many players didn't reach their best level. Only if you wanted to make a change at halftime, then my candidates would have been Ella Toon and Lucy Bronze. Because they underperformed. Toonie was last two matches, but this time it was like she was before the World Cup or in the group stage. And Lucy Bronze, I know she's a fantastic player, but today was not her best day. And she wanted to lose the ball in midfield. Why was she in midfield losing the ball? And then by creating the chance that led to the goal, it was on her side. She was missing there. And it was not the only time that she was not at her best today. So even if she's a legend, if you want to make a change at halftime, these were the two players I would have taken out. Of course, Alessia wasn't good in the first half, but as you said, she scored the crucial goal with one or two chances she had. One chance she used to score against, not against Spain. So, it's difficult to say what the problem was. Was it the pressure or the chance to become world champion? And and then, as I said, I think being 1-0 down against a team like Spain is extremely difficult. One thing better in second half, we had more ball possession. I read the statistics that we had 53% ball possession in second half, and to have more ball against Spain, this is normally impossible. So we tried everything, and you can't say the team was bad or was not trying everything. They tried. It didn't work out. Too many players were not at their best. So sometimes one thing comes to another, and it happens that your performance is not good enough to win. And unfortunately, it was today. It was in a World Cup final, but
I mean, I think in the second half, yes. I think the reason why we maybe had more possession was because Spain were quite happy to let us have more possession in the second half. They were winning the game. They were quite happy to sit behind the ball. And maybe they figured out quite quickly that we didn't have that threat through the centre anymore that we had had before and that we could have offered. And they were quite happy to sit back a little bit, I felt. And, you know, we put some balls into the box without much conviction, that they easily cleared everything. We didn't really put their goalkeeper under too much pressure. That one save is about it, really. And, you know, I'm not saying they didn't try. They gave everything. Physically, they gave everything. You could clearly see that they left it all out there. But none of them played particularly well. And unfortunately, in a World Cup final, if you want to beat a great side like Spain, you have to play well. And not enough of our players did. One or two did. I thought Jess Carter had a great game. I thought defensively she was brilliant. But unfortunately, when you're 1-0 down, you need your attacking players, don't you, to maybe contribute more than what they did, I suppose. But yeah, it is disappointing that in the biggest game of all, too many of the players. Well, I agree, Lucy Bronze, I didn't think was very good today at all. I mean, that, it wasn't so much. Yeah, I mean, she moved into midfield with a ball, and you think, okay, you know, she does that sometimes. That's part of her game. She was a wing back as opposed to a full back, so she had license to move forward. But what disappointed me was when she lost the ball, she made no effort to get back. True. She just walked. In fact, she was standing in the circle. Yeah. She didn't make any effort to get back. And that's, to me, that's the worst thing you can do. Make a mistake, fair enough. Everyone makes mistakes, but don't just give up and not try. I mean, yes, Russo was a little bit slow reacting to the overlapping run by the fullback who scored. She should have maybe reacted to that quicker, and she didn't. But she's not a defender. She doesn't think defensively enough.
Yeah.
And that was why. It was massive space. I didn't think Jess Carter reacted quickly enough either to cover for Lucy when she moved into midfield, and it was all a bit of a mess. But yeah, just Lucy Bronze not making that effort to even make an attempt to get back. Not that she was going to be able to get back in time, but at least make the effort. Don't just stand there in the centre circle and expect other people to do it. I just thought that was poor from her today. Not just that. That was probably the worst aspect because it did lead to the goal. I mean, Emma, do you think that maybe it was one game too many? You know, they played a lot of football. We've had a lot of problems with injuries and whatnot. Do you think this just maybe was one game too many? We looked very leggy, didn't we, and not sharp.
Yeah, and I don't know, Spain had gone. They didn't go extra time, but you see, they got better as the tournament went. They had a game plan and they executed it to perfection. And we kind of knew what to expect. Spain from what when we'd beaten them last summer in the quarterfinal of the Euros, and ultimately, I just feel on the ball we didn't look comfortable. We pressed them high up the pitch. They found a way to counter that press. Everyone kept on giving the ball away a lot in midfield cheaply. They couldn't retain it. And it goes to show when your keeper and your defenders are your best performers in the game, then that something's not quite right. And ultimately, we didn't look ourselves going forward. And Spain always found an answer to everything. In the midfield, their midfield's actually outstanding. The red wall at the back's just great. And then... going forward, they always look to threat as well. So, and that mistake, as you say, by Lucy Bronze, she could have got a lot back. I don't know why she bombed. So she could easily pass that ball out to Kira as well before. Yeah. And then pass it two or three times. Yeah. And,
screaming at her, pass the ball.
As soon as you had that overlapping run, you thought, yeah, this is trouble. And so it proved. And, ultimately, she didn't really recover from that. Even Georgia Stanway didn't have a best game. He was another candidate who could have probably come off at halftime instead of Russo or Daly. They just found a way to overcome England's tactics, and we didn't really find an answer. And ultimately, that's what's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Spain have a very good side. They've got brilliant individual players. Technically, they're very good players and stuff. They didn't have to play that well today to win that game, I didn't think. Yeah. Spain wasn't brilliant. They played with a better team. They played well. They wasn't brilliant today. They didn't have to be brilliant, did they? Because of how poor we played, really. And it's such a shame because we know this team are better than that. We know they are. And unfortunately today, whether it was nerves, tiredness, I'm not sure. But, you know, it wasn't our day. I mean, fair play to Spain. They did what they needed to do to win the game. Not always pretty with them pretending to be injured half the time in the second half, wasting time. But, you know, they did what they had to do to win the game. And we would have done the same if we'd been in trouble. We got some comments in. LG says it's coming home. No, the players are coming home, not the trophy. Yeah, well, the players are coming home without the trophy, unfortunately. Yeah, there you go. At least we got to the final, I suppose. Terry says, evening, Richard, man of mystery, Andreas, and the one and only Amar, disappointed, says Terry. Yeah, I think we all feel the same, mate, definitely. Terry says, I still think Russo coming off at half-time was a mistake. Should have left her on with Kelly coming on. Yeah, exactly. We maybe should have done. I'm sure Serena will look back on that and maybe think she may have could have done it differently, but she did what she thought was best. David says, I think the Spanish target, Greenwood and Hemp, dark arts, booked Hemp, very clever. Men's team the same. Lost game in the first half. Yeah, obviously we lost the game in the first half, conceding that goal. Yeah, you're right. And yeah, there was. We'll come on to the referee in a minute because there was a few strange decisions happening in the game, which we'll talk about. LG says there, Lea Cavino getting injured. Her deciding for Arsenal was typical Arsenal.
Is he joking?
What do you mean?
He's not serious, is he?
About what? Yeah, coming to Arsenal. Yeah, she's coming to Arsenal, apparently.
No, about her getting injured. No, I know she's coming to Arsenal, but no, about her getting injured. She got injured.
Yeah. She got injured in the end. She got taken off, yeah.
She got taken off. It wasn't a serious injury. Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't serious, no, but I mean, we don't know. I mean, it looked like a knee injury at the beginning. No. I was a bit worried when I saw that, but I don't think it's anything too serious. It didn't look serious, but let's hope not. But yeah, whatever it is, the good news is the season doesn't start for 6 weeks, so she's got plenty of time to recover and be fit for the start of the season. Assuming we do sign her, of course, which it seems like we are. Terry says there, Lauren James, PR stunt, believed all the hype. Well, I don't know about that. I think she deserved her place to come on in the final. It just didn't work, did it? Russell is their second best out there, absolutely. Manager imploded by subbing Russo at half-time. Would England sub Kane at half-time? Don't take off your striker. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much... You don't do that, do you? Crazy, I agree. It was a crazy decision, and I don't know why she did it. I'd love to know exactly the reason. David says their best moment of World Cup, England, the third goal against Australia, Hemp run on part. Yeah, the third goal against Australia was the best moment because it meant we had sealed our place in the final. So that was the best moment, yeah. We was hoping for a better one today, but it wasn't to be, was it, Ian? I mean, we know England's performance was not up to the level it needed to be. And that's the main reason, that's the only reason we lost the game. But having said that, there was some rather... strange refereeing, shall we say, from the American referee and VAR as well. Obviously, the big one was the penalty in the second half, which looked like being a turning point one way or the other. It didn't quite work out that way in the end, did it? But when I saw that at the time, I'm thinking, what's Ciara Walsh meant to do with her hand? It's at the side of her body. She didn't put it out towards the ball. The ball's hit her hand from very, very close. I couldn't really see what else she was meant to do. She couldn't move her arm out of the way because she was keeping her balance as she was turning. So, I don't know. If you're going to give a penalty for that sort of handball, to me, then you're going to get 25 penalties every game because you can't avoid that contact. You couldn't really avoid that contact with the ball. And I thought that the referee didn't want to give it. Clearly, she didn't give it at the time. And in the end, VAR talked her into deciding it was a penalty. Now, you can look at that and say, yes, it did hit her hand. Her hand was slightly away from her body, a fraction. And you can maybe see that according to the laws of the game, which clearly don't make any sense when it comes to handball, perhaps it was a penalty. But one, why did it take them 10 minutes to come to that decision?
Yeah.
And two, having made that decision, which you could say is right or wrong regardless, why did VAR not get involved when Mary Ertz was off her line when she saved the penalty and not make them retake it? You can't, you know, obviously it works in our favour, so that was a good thing about it. Can't have VAR getting involved in one thing, taking hours to decide, and it's clearly obvious that Mary Ertz was off miles off her line when she saved the penalty, miles off her line. And the Haiti goalkeeper who saved Georgia Stanway's penalty in the first game, that got retaken for exactly the same reason. And it's these inconsistencies. What's VAR doing? They're doing something, they're not doing something else. And that whole incident, to me, almost in a World Cup final, the biggest football event of the year, and they make such a mess of that whole situation, giving a penalty, not giving a penalty, VAR, and then allowing Mary Earps to basically, you know, be outside her 6-yard box when she saved the penalty. You know, that's how ridiculous it was. I mean, it was great at the time that she saved it. But you've got to look at, you know, what rules of the game are they implementing and what rules are they ignoring? And they can't do that to me. I mean, Andres, what did you make of all of that? Was it a penalty, first of all, for you? Did you think it should have been given?
No, my first impression was no penalty. And this was the impression the referee had too. It was absolutely no intention from Kira to stop the ball with her hand. And so this was no penalty. And then when the VAR says, just look on the monitor again and again, and you see it 10 times in slow motion, and then you see the ball hit her hand. You don't see in slow motion, you don't see whether it's intentional or not. Mm. You only see the ball's coming to her hand and it hits her hand. Okay, then it's a penalty. But this is, in normal football situations, this happens. And if it happens in midfield or 20 meters before the goal, there wouldn't be a free kick for this. And there wouldn't be a VAR coming in and say, in midfield, when this happens, the VAR wouldn't say, look at the monitor, there must be a free kick. Mm-hmm. Why is there a VAR decision when the same situation happens in the box? Of course, as I said, if you look 10 times in slow motion at this, the ball hit Kira's hand, and then you can say, okay, it's handball and it's a penalty. Yes. Okay. But on the other hand, this situation could have turned around the match in our favor, because saving a penalty and still about 30 minutes to go, but we couldn't get used to this advantage, unfortunately. The penalty should have been retaken because Mary Earps was not standing on her line when it was taken. but it was a great save from Mary. And every goalkeeper tries something. And I think if you would look at this in slow motion, you could retake every penalty that doesn't find the back of the net. And so, Mary did what every goalkeeper does, and she had a fantastic save. And this should have been the moment to turn around the match for us.
Yeah. It should have been. I thought it was going to be, actually. I thought when the penalty was saved, I thought, that's it now. We're going to be fired up by the injustice of the penalty in the first place. And for 5 minutes, maybe we were, but it didn't really lead anywhere, did it? And it all fizzled out a little bit after that. And the Alex Greenwood injury later on didn't help the flow of the game, I suppose. I just thought it was bizarre refereeing and VARing for that whole incident, for giving the penalty and then making it be retaken, which was bizarre for me. I mean, the way I look at it is, did England gain an advantage by the ball hitting Kira Walsh's hand? No, because the attack carried on. They got a shot away and nearly scored. It went out for a corner, didn't it? A deflected shot that went behind. So it didn't affect... England didn't get an advantage. And I think you've got to look at it. And maybe it's the rules that are wrong as opposed to the referees themselves. Maybe they've got to look at the rule and say, does the handball advantage the defending player? Does it give them an advantage by the handball? Does it prevent an attack, prevent a shot at goal? You know, the Lucy Bronze one against China, you could say that, although that was very harsh as well, the ball was on target for the goal. So you can maybe understand an advantage was created. But in this situation, it wasn't. It was, and no advantage was to England by hitting her hand, because Spain carried on with the attack and it got a shot away. And that nearly went in. So I don't know, that was just the most bizarre penalty decision I think I've ever seen for a handball. Because it was, what else can she do with her hand? You can't chop her hand off the end of her arm, can you? It's there. Just moving around to keep her balance. What else is she meant to do? And the ball's literally a yard away. It just totally makes a mockery of everything to do with VAR and football, just giving a penalty for that. At first, I couldn't believe, you know, she didn't give the penalty. And then it's gone to VAR and you're thinking, oh, okay, VAR are just going to dismiss this straight away. And then they spent 10 minutes. And as soon as the referee went to the screen, I knew they were going to give a penalty because VAR told her that's what she had to do. VAR said to her, you're wrong, it's handball, it's a penalty. And they've made her go to the screen. 9 times out of 10, that's what happens when the ref goes to the screen. They change their mind because VAR have told them to. But anyway, I mean, Emma, what did you make of that? Did you think it was a penalty? It wasn't a penalty, was it? Come on, let's be honest. It wasn't. Was it?
Well, when I saw the... you have to say the referee, the Spanish players knew straight away, even though they said to Vilda. I don't know if Vilda, they told her straight away, but they were convinced. And as soon as they saw it, oh, it's penalty. I must say, when I first saw it, I thought... Well, I agree with you boys that the close proximity of the hand has got to be taken account. I know she moves her hand towards the ball, but it's not in an unnatural position. I know But you know, in this day and age, that's going to be given because of the movement, and it touches her fingers. And what she's supposed to do is she's not deliberately, as you say, trying to make a movement of the hand towards the ball. She's just trying to prevent the attacker from going past her in a way, and just trying to. Well, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Case in point, yesterday, I don't know if you saw the game between Tottenham and Manchester United. Sergio, was it Romero?
The ball at pace.
And he—that was more. He again, he didn't move his hand to the ball. No penalty was given. Well, it's a consistency in a way. She didn't move her hand deliberately towards the ball. But you knew once in this day and age, when the VAR have a look at it, that they're going to give that, and it is extremely frustrating. I thought after a while, okay, yes, they've come to possibly, in their mind, they've come to the right decision. But why is it taking 10 minutes? As Robin Cowan was rightly saying on the commentary, it's like a conference. It's like they're having a conference in the middle of the most important game in the women's football. It's like,
oh, there's only a cup of tea, I reckon. There's only a cup of tea.
What's going on here? And they may have been convincing that it was the right decision. And they could have seen that it was tight. I think Mary Oakes was probably just on the line. Maybe it was just slightly off and they could have retaken it. But in the end, justice was done when she made that brilliant save to deny Hermoso. But it is kind of ruining the game. Over 13 added minutes, it doesn't make for pleasant viewing. And they really need to sort it out. And going forward, maybe, I mean, we've said it many times in the past, will they introduce in the WSL? Will we get moments like this? And in our league, rather like we saw in the international stage. If so, this is going to extend games like we've seen in the Men's World Cup last year. And it's just going to make, in many ways, it'll make for unpleasant viewing in many ways. And loads of teams will feel hard done by. So, I think that's one thing they definitely have to. I must admit, I did not think it was a penalty. Although when they saw it again, ultimately I was just convinced them to believe, yes, it's the right decision. But that's not how I don't want to be swayed like that in the future when you know what the correct decision should be and it shouldn't take so long. So, again, that's another thing they have to look at going forward.
Yeah, I mean, see, one of the things that I've over the last couple of years in particular, one of the things I've enjoyed most about the WSL is the fact there is no VAR. There hasn't been VAR. And it's been much more enjoyable to watch as the games have a result of that. I mean, we were at the Champions League semi-final against Wolfsburg, and how many times did VAR spoil that game? Fantastic game of football, wasn't it? Brilliant game of football. And VAR spoiled
it.
Every single incident that happened in that game when they didn't need to. And to me, VAR is ruining the game. It's ruined the game in the men's game. The Premier League now, I can't stand watching it. I hate VAR. And it's just, and this World Cup, that all, instead of thinking to themselves that VAR is actually not working, why don't we try a World Cup with the women without VAR to see the difference? No, what they tried to do is announce a decision over the loudspeakers, over the so that's going to make any difference. It's going to make any difference. Yeah. It has made no difference at all. And to me, if nothing else today, if nothing comes out of this, that they realise that VAR is killing the game of football. If that doesn't happen today in a World Cup final that everybody in the world is watching, countries all over the world are watching this, the showpiece event, they're never, ever going to change it, are they? They're never going to scrap VAR. And you're right. When it comes into the WSL, which it will do, there's absolutely no doubt about that, it's going to ruin that as well. And it's the only salvation we get is that the WSL doesn't have it. And it's the only salvation that we get watching the WSL games without the nonsense that goes on with VAR. I mean, that today was, it was ridiculous. You cannot, if it takes you 10 minutes to decide, then just go with it, the original decision. Look at it once or twice. No, is it enough to overturn the referee on the pitch? No, carry on with the game. Totally stupid. And the fact that it was such a ridiculous decision anyway to give a penalty for that. And yes, partly it's the rules to blame. Maybe the handball rules are very... You're right though, Amar. That one yesterday in the Tottenham-Manchester United game, that was much more of a penalty than the one today. And that wasn't given. And the one today was much less of a penalty, and it was given. Some of these, different referees, different competitions, all that kind of stuff. But the rules should be the same across the board. It's one rule for the whole of football, isn't it? Women don't play by different rules to men. It's the same rules, and they should be applied in the same way. That's what VAR should be for. And you should maybe look at VAR, that the VAR official should look at other decisions that's going on at the time, from the weekend, from last week, and say, on that particular occasion, that wasn't given as a penalty, so we cannot give this as a penalty because that would make us look stupid and incompetent. But they don't care about looking stupid and incompetent because they make an actual living out of it. It's just ridiculous. And that to me today, it spoiled the game. It really did spoil the game. And yes, it could have and should have been the turning point for us. We should have been up for it after that. We should have it should have gone differently after the penalty save. But to me, that ruined the whole game because you can't have ridiculous things like that going on in a World Cup final. It took them so long to reach the wrong decision. And that's the annoying thing, you know, they got the decision wrong. And yeah, that's just, I don't know, just horrible, horrible. It's horrible today. That was ruined that whole game for me.
And if, LG says, if you look at it at the end, if you look at it at the end as well, they didn't get involved, but Paraguayo, who's already on yellow card, throws the ball away when England have an attacking position, and she doesn't even get booked for it. So.
Well, what happened there? I don't know whether it was just something I imagined, but I'm sure she kicked the ball away. The referee went to get a card out, realised that it was going to have to be a red, and changed their mind. And it's like, okay, it's a World Cup final. You don't want someone sent off in a World Cup final for kicking a ball away. You don't, because that's stupid. But that's what they've done. They've won a yellow card as you kick the ball away. That's a yellow card offence. It's a bookable offence by the rules of the game. If you're gonna stick to a rule with a handball, the ball's hit her hand, let's give a penalty. You've got to then produce a second yellow card for somebody kicking the ball away, whether you want to do it or not, whether it's in the spirit of a World Cup final or not. No, she should have been sent off. Absolutely. So the referee's got one mistake wrong, got another mistake wrong, and then just keeps getting mistakes wrong after that. And it's, I don't know, that happens too many times for me. Yeah, but you're totally right. That should have been a red card. And as much as we don't want to see it happening in a game like that, it should have happened. She should have been sent off. You know, Lauren James got sent off for something that you could say was worse. But ultimately, it's a yellow card offence either way. And it's a yellow card, it's a red card, it's off. And that's it. But anyway, LG says they came from Botswana. Yeah. I wish the 2027 Women's World Cup was given to South Africa. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? Obviously, there was the Men's World Cup in South Africa, wasn't it? In 2010, I think that was, wasn't it? With the Vuvuzelas and all that kind of stuff, which got quite annoying. But that was a good World Cup. So I don't know whether they put a bid in, have they, South Africa, for that one. I'm not sure.
It'll be announced next year.
Yeah. Be nice to have it. It'd be nice to have it in Africa, wouldn't it? Emerson says the Spain number 14, which was obviously Cadena, we mentioned before, was okay as she showed no signs of injury when she collected her wins. But no, she didn't. That's fair enough. Yeah, and if it was a little injury, I don't think it's too bad. So let's hope that's not going to be a problem. Terry says, I saw a clip earlier, the Spanish girl that got booked and then late. Oh, there we go. Yeah, kicked the ball away. The ref. Oh, she did this. It wasn't just me that fought to give a yellow card and realize. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how I thought it happened. I thought it maybe was just me imagining it, but I'm pretty sure the referee went to go to her pocket and then thought, oh, I can't because she's been booked. But that's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, that is ridiculous. We've got Michael, and of course, our resident Spanish fan. He says, I agree, the rule 50 times when it's a penalty against England, it should not be given. that's you're very true. That's very true. You're right. We agree for once, Michael. We do. We definitely agree on that one. Whenever there's a penalty against England, it should definitely not be given. Absolutely right. Terry says the ref with the pen should have stuck with her first decision. VAR should have won. Yeah, of course. And if VAR did get involved, there wasn't enough to make her change her mind. That's the point. There wasn't enough to make it an obvious mistake, which is what VAR was for. But there you go. Terry says, look on the bright side. If Earps gets injured, we have a good replacement in Kira Walsh. I don't think Kira Walsh was right. Michael says the reason it took 10 minutes is because they were discussing how it would look if they ignored an obvious penalty. Yeah. Well, was it an obvious penalty though? Let's be honest. Come on. I mean, take your Barcelona and Spain glasses off just for a second and think if that was given against, if that had been given against Spain today and England scored and made it 1-1, how would you have felt about that decision against Spain? I'm sure you wouldn't have been very happy that it'd been given. I'm sure you wouldn't have been. I mean, you know, we even said, you know, let's be fair, we said that the penalty should have been retaken because Mary Earp moved, she was off her line, that should have been retaken, and it was. That was a mistake by the referee. You're not moaning about that mistake, you're more moaning about the decision that was given that was wrong. But anyway, and Michael says, justice was done, the best team won. Well, you could say the best team won, and we're not really arguing with you. In that particular incident over the penalty, justice was done because it wasn't a penalty and it was saved. So there you go. And it was saved illegally, which makes it even better, actually, because it shouldn't have been given in the first place, and it was saved illegally, and it carried on. So that's good. Anyway, David says, thanks for the chat. Love it. Newcastle fan, got to go. No problem, mate. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you very soon. I'm sure Newcastle had a pretty good start to the season, haven't they? So that's good. Terry says, probably why the women's refs are rubbish are being taught by the blokes at ref. Yeah, that's probably what's happening. Blokes are teaching them, and that's why they're so bad, because we know how terrible the men referees are. LG says, South Africa have bidded alongside Brazil, Mexico, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium announcement. Yeah, it's next year, yeah. Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there's been a Men's World Cup in Brazil quite recently. Germany have had a tournament recently, haven't they? Netherlands and Belgium, they had a Euros for the men, didn't they, a few years ago? So we'll see. Emerson says that the next World Cup will be in Europe. Well, if it's in Europe, it's going to go to Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, isn't it? But let's say we don't know. You know, obviously, it wasn't in Africa this one, so it could well be Africa next time, couldn't it? You know, it's a possibility. It is a possibility, so we'll have to see. It depends on who bids the most money, who gives them the most backhanders gets it usually, don't they? So it'll probably come down to that, really. But obviously, from our perspective, in Europe, it'll be nice. At least the kickoff times will be a little bit more sensible for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Andrew would love it if it was in Germany. A few games.
He's got the men's Euros there next year. And then the following World Cup is in Canada, United States, Canada, Mexico. So it might be difficult for those bids to go through because of the, considering where the men's World Cups are. So, but I mean, it has tended to rotate, like Europe and then somewhere else, and then Europe and then somewhere else. Yeah. So there's a good chance of being Europe. But then again, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, it's a possibility, and it would be great to have a World Cup in South Africa for the women, wouldn't it? I'm sure. But I say we'll have to wait and see. But yeah. So yeah, I mean, some strange refereeing going on. And ultimately, it didn't affect the result, did it? Let's be honest. You know, the penalty was missed anyway, and it didn't liven us up particularly well at the end anyway, and we lost the game. So, you know, I just felt as though for a showpiece event like that, it was shocking all round, really. VAR was shocking, the referee was shocking, the whole thing was just a bit of a joke in the end, which was such a shame for such an important match and what has been overall a really... a really good World Cup. It has been a really good World Cup, hasn't it? And, you know, I always feel sad when great tournaments finish because you look forward to watching the games and watching the highlights and everything else. And it's like, you know, be great. It's been great every day watching them and stuff. And it's going to be sad now it's finished. But we've got other things to keep us busy, I'm sure. LG says that South Africa's time zone is similar to Germany's in an hour. Oh, well, brilliant. Even better then. Let's have it in South Africa. That's fine. We'll live with that. At least we can watch all the games. There's no problem. And that'll be good. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'll back South Africa's bid then. That's fine. I'll back it. So then,
all Brazil's
it's got nothing to do with me, but I'll back it anyway. I mean, it's obviously, you know, I know today was disappointing, and I think we've made our feelings quite clear about everything that happened today. So, but let's look at the World Cup in general, because I this has been the last two World Cups have got progressively better before this one. And now this one's taken it to another level again, hasn't it? I think overall this has been a really, really good World Cup. The standard of football's been great. As we've mentioned a few times, the lesser nations have closed that gap on the bigger nations, as we've seen, you know, countries going further into tournaments than they've ever done before. Some of the smaller nations, which has been great to see. And although we didn't quite get the showpiece final that we all wanted, a great game of football, 3-2 and all this kind of stuff, don't let that diminished the world. It's been a great World Cup, hasn't it, Andreas? Overall, I think it's taken women's football to another level again. The Euros last year did, but this even more so because it's a World Cup, isn't it? Everybody's involved and the bigger tournament with more teams in. And I think it's been a massive success, hasn't it?
Yes, of course. It was a fantastic World Cup. It showed the progress women's football has done in the whole world. We saw the so-called smaller nations, how they developed. And nations which we didn't expect in the round of 16, like Morocco, like Colombia, Nigeria, South Africa, they qualified for the last 16. And so this shows the progress and the development women's football has had in the last years all over the world. It was a fantastic level of from playing. Technically, tactically, and the goalkeeping has improved once again a lot. We saw fantastic goalkeepers throughout the whole tournament. As I said, the ability of the players to react tactically, what they can show, technical improvement. It was a fantastic World Cup. And the atmosphere, especially in Australia, was remarkable. We had 50,000, 70,000 attendees. Yeah, stadium. Right. That's just great, great development. Think back 10 years. It would have been impossible to say you have a World Cup with 50 to 70,000 people attending in the stadium. Yeah. So this also showed close to the government, and it was that it was right to go to countries like Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah,
it was the right decision to extend it to 32 teams, what I doubted before the World Cup. So all in all, it was a really, really good tournament and one step forward for women's football. Of course, I would love to have the next World Cup in Germany, Netherlands, Belgium. Then I could attend matches in the stadium live. But for the development of the sports, maybe South Africa would be the better decision, because we have the next Euros in Switzerland and World Cup was in Australia. Why not in Africa? Let's see. As long as it is not in Saudi Arabia, then I'm okay with it.
Obviously we don't have a World Cup in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God, no.
Only money decides all, and let's hope it's not the case. If FIFA is as corrupt as we always think, then we might see the World Cup in Saudi Arabia or Qatar or somewhere else. So I hope this will not happen.
You're right.
You need to write a letter to them, Andreas. You need to write a letter.
Yeah, I mean, it is ruled by money. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I can't see a Women's World Cup being in Saudi Arabia. That would be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. It would be absolutely ridiculous. And if we didn't know already it was all about money, we certainly would then if that happened. But, no, I agree. I think South Africa would be a good choice for the development of football, women's football in Africa, because the African nations did well in this World Cup, didn't they? The best performance that they've ever done. And it would be nice for them to get to host a tournament. But yeah, I mean, obviously, from our point of view, if it was in Europe, it'd be great, because, you know, it'd be easy for us to get to more games in the stadium, which would be fantastic, as you know, it would be a great experience. But yeah, you know, we don't want to always look at it from our own sort of selfish perspective. It is what's good for the benefit of the game, and maybe an African World Cup for the women could be, you know, a good step forward. We saw what the men's World Cup in South Africa did for football in Africa, so you know, there's no reason to think it couldn't have the same impact on this one here. Which is good. Emerson says there, he's got a question, but he says, did all you three notice that Bron snubbed the FIFA president by not shaking his hand? I noticed that. Yeah. I mean, fair play to him, really, I suppose, because he's not a very nice person, let's be honest. And obviously, it was to do in a comment that he made. Fair play to Lucy, I suppose, but ultimately it's not going to make a lot of difference, is it? I'm afraid. It was, you know, fair play to her for doing that, but yeah, I don't know. I think when it's a World Cup, you sometimes maybe have to put personal things aside, don't you? And part of the ceremony and the pomp of it all, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, fair play to each other, reasons, and that's right. But LG says they're the first World Cup, Women's World Cup final not to feature either USA or Germany. Oh, yeah. And that just goes to show, doesn't it, how the rise of other nations have now become more. I mean, you know, Spain winning their first World Cup, England reaching the first ever final. You know, all four semi-finalists have never won the World Cup before. You know, stuff like that. So it's been a good World Cup for that sense, hasn't it? Which has been great. Terry says, I think ITV and BBC could have done more.
It's going to be longer.
I agree with that. Yeah, we've mentioned that before. They almost didn't bother with it. They just thought, well, we'll have to show something, so we'll put a 10-minute thing together and hope for the best kind of thing. Yeah, they didn't put enough effort into that. I agree. That's something that they need to look at, I suppose. LG says, they're big up to the Colombian fans. Mm-hmm. They were by far the best cricketing fans in this tour. But, yeah, they certainly made noise, didn't they? There's no doubt about that. They were very colourful and lively, and that was great. So, yeah, that's what the World Cup's about, isn't it? It's about these fans coming over and making a noise and getting involved and loving it. And that was great to see, actually. All painted their faces and stuff, didn't they? Brilliant. So, yeah, no, it was good to see them. Yeah, they did help improve the atmosphere. And LG says there, Germany has hosted the Women's World Cup not so long ago.
That's a very good point as well.
Yeah, it'd be unfair for USA to host both men and women's World Cup.
That's right, which
leaves us with Brazil and South Africa as the best option. Yeah, and Brazil recently had a men's World Cup, didn't they, not that long ago? Out of those two, out of Brazil and South Africa, I would prefer South Africa just for the African side of it, that they maybe deserve to host the World Cup. for the women. I think that would be good, actually, for, as we said, for the progression. Terry says, I reckon it will be held in Ukraine. They've got all of Europe's money.
Ukraine?
They have got all of Europe's money. That's true, actually. So they certainly can afford to host it, can't they? They can afford to build a load of new stadiums because they've got everybody's money. So that's fair enough. But obviously, it won't be held here, will it? I mean, Emma, what have you made of this World Cup in overall? Have you enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah, of course I haven't enjoyed it. As I know, that, as you said, at the start of the tournament, some of the kickoff times, the time difference, at kickoff are like, oh, they're like stupid at Cup, for example. But they have been made available to watch later in the day, I suppose. The coverage has been pretty decent. But again, yeah. Yeah, the fact it took so long to decide. I remember a month before the tournament, there was the doubt whether they'll show at all. So, I mean, they at least they come to a deal there. I don't know if that doesn't happen again in the future. But I heard on the radio that I don't know what the overall attendance for the tournament was, something in the region of 9 million total for the tournament, which goes to show how far the game has come. I mean, France was sort of great 4 years ago, but I think this has been every year with the men's. This has been the best World Cup year, but even with the women's, considering it was 61 years after the men that it finally started, I think for me, this has just shown that. There has been a changing of the guard, and it's great to see a lot of the so-called, not going to say weaker teams, that's being a bit disrespectful. I'd say some of the lesser-known teams are coming through, as Andreas was saying, throw Jamaica into the mix as well, reaching the last 16, and the big giant, and the three of the former champions not making it even past the group stage or last 16. This goes to show that how far this game has come, the strength and depth is as good as it's ever been, and if it wasn't on the map already, it has been very firmly put on the map now, and it's important that the legacy of each tournament going forward is to build on the previous one. And I think this will be the benchmark going forward, whoever hosts the next one. I mean, as you say, I don't know who's going to host the next one. I mean, so many countries have like hosted men's World Cups. I mean, I'd love to see it in England again, but of course, that's an unlikely. Having hosted the Euros, Germany, you said 2011, and Brazil 2014. But African nation would be good because, as you said, in South Africa in 2010, how good that was. And the fans are great, and going forward, it's going to be difficult for whoever wants to. But they've shown Australia, New Zealand have shown what that is. And going forward, if we can, whoever hosts the next can do as good a job, the game is in good hands as we've seen. And it remains to be seen where it's held. But we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
The standard now for World Cups, and maybe tournaments, I mean, I thought the Euros last year, I thought we hosted that really well. Yes, we won it, which made it better. But I thought we hosted that tournament really well. You know, we all went to games in the tournament, and I think we could all see how well-organised it was and what a great experience it was to be there. I went to games that didn't involve England. I know Andreas went to neutral games as well. And I think that it kind of, you got that whole experience was fantastic. And it seemed as, I mean, obviously we didn't go to Australia, but from what I can understand, the experience from the fans was really, really good. And it was a well-hosted competition. It was well-supported. The atmosphere in the stadiums was great. And it's kind of setting a benchmark for future tournaments now, isn't it? This is what we're going to be expecting now in the future, a really good tournament on the pitch, but also a very well-organised tournament off the pitch and great atmospheres, full stadiums, all this kind of stuff, which is now something that we're almost now expecting in women's football, which was unusual when you think back to previous tournaments and even, you know, domestically in recent years, it's nowhere near that. And it just goes to show how quickly things have moved forward. So, yeah, I think that is something that we can all be, anyone that's been involved in women's football, I think to be really proud of what's happened, this World Cup, to showcase how great it is and how great it's supported and how brilliant it is for everybody going forward. And I think that's really important. So, yeah. It has been a massive success. So well done to everyone in Australia who's done such a great job of getting it, of organising it and making it such a great entertainment that it's been. Emerson's got a question for Andreas there. He says, what are your thoughts if we sign the Spanish number 14, obviously, Lea Cabina, who played today, and one more signing after that, not sure who. Do you think she looks a good player, Andreas? I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of her in the World Cup. She looks pretty decent to me. What do you make of her? Do you think she'd be a good signing?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I said this in our last show, she's only 23 and she's coming through the education from Barcelona. So I would like us to sign her. We need another center back. And as I said, she's only 23. She can develop, she will develop. And we have players from from Australia, from Scandinavia. Why not from Spain? Having this influence in our team might be a good thing. And she got a lot of minutes at the World Cup. I think she got more minutes at the World Cup than in the Spanish league last season, because she was at Mabillon, and Mabillon was in the Spanish squad. So Naya played a lot. And I think she made a good job there, and I would like to see her at the Arsenal next year. Young player who can develop. And one more signing, maybe a right back to cover Noel Maritz would be good, or a holding midfielder, because we all know that Wally is not going through a season without at least slight injuries. And with Lea being out, there is no player to cover Wally. So if I would have to decide whether a right back or a holding midfielder, I would say let's try to get a holding midfielder. But Amanda could play right back if necessary, or we could play with back three. I would prefer the holding midfielder to be signed.
Yeah, that would be my choice. If we have to make one more signing as well as Kadena, then I'd like to see us bring a midfielder in. Because, that's the one area last season where we really needed extra body, didn't we? Yes, are we going to get both Leah Walty and Kim Little injured at the same time again? Maybe not. I don't know. And obviously, Leah Williamson as well being out. So I don't know whether that'll happen again. But we can't really take that risk. We're better off getting somebody in. Plus, as well, Kim Little's not getting any younger, is she? Let's be honest. Neither is Leah Walty. They're both reaching the back end of their career, so we need to get someone in now that can develop and learn and become their replacement in the team, because that's what we are eventually going to. I know we don't want to face that Kim Little might have to retire at some point, but she will, and you need to have a plan in place for when that happens, if it's not going to be next year after, whenever it might be. So that is definitely, for me, that's a priority. But she looked a decent player. This Kadena, I thought she looked good at the World Cup, and let's see if we can get that in. I'm sure it'd be a good addition. I mean, I think we might be all right at right back, because that Amanda Illestat can play right back, can't she, if necessary? But then I suppose it takes a centre-half out. If we've got Kadena, then we can have, Illestat, Kadena, Ruben Moy and Steph Catley as a defence if needed, if that's the case. Let's see. Yeah, I would say get her in, get a midfielder in. I agree, and we're sorted. Would you sign this Kadena then, Amar? What you've seen her in this World Cup? Do you think she's the sort of player that we need?
I haven't seen too much of her personally. I haven't been looking at the individual performances going forward, but I think she looks like a good signing, and she wanted to join Arsenal because she wasn't, as you say, because one or two of the Spanish players who were involved in the dispute. That's why Mapileon didn't play. I think that's why Kadena's got more game time, and that's why it's allowed her maybe to shine more on this global stage. But I mean she looks like a good player. I mean, anyone else, we haven't had it. I think it'll be the first Spanish player we've signed since who was it? I mean, we had three Spanish players playing on. Vicky Lozada was the Spanish last. So another one from Barcelona. We had also Corredero, who had a few years ago. We had Natalia. But it's not often we raid Barcelona for their talent, or how many of our male players have gone to Barcelona in the past as well. So no, it's good to see. I mean, my personal choice to sign in midfield, as highly unlikely as it seems, you could either take two options. You could either chuck Super Jen Beattie in the midfield and play her there. Terry would love that, no doubt. Let's put in a world record fee, as Barcelona did for Kira Walsh. Let's try to get Bon Mati. As unlikely as it seems, that's not going to happen. But no, I'm from what. I know it's not going to happen, but that would be a dream for anyone if you could get Bon Mati to sign for you. I mean, she was just absolutely wonderful today. But I think from what I've seen, Kadena looks like a good player, and hopefully it'll give Jonas more options going forward and better squad depth too. So let's see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Bon Mati would be a fantastic signing. But actually, I mean, she's not really a defensive midfield player, is she? But I suppose one of the best defensive midfield players in Europe would probably be the one from Wolfsburg that nobody likes. But she's a great player, isn't she? Let's be honest.
Oberdorf. Oberdorf. Sorry.
Exactly.
In some circles as well, Rubensson from Sweden has been linked with us on the Facebook.
Yeah, Rubensson from Sweden is a good shout, because obviously
we've got so many Swedes coming over as well. And I have four Swedish players. We've got Stina, Lina, Amanda, and then Rubensson.
Well, I mean, Jonas knows them, doesn't he? So it kind of makes sense. He knows their style. He knows he can work with them. LG says get Lena Iberdorf at all costs. Yeah, I mean, she would be a great player. There's no doubt. As much as we don't like her when we play against her, she is a very good player. There's no question about that. We can't really argue with that. LG also says Kyra Cooney Cross. Yeah, she had a decent World Cup. She was a good player.
She's been linked with Chelsea.
I really hope we could steal Vingegaard here from Bayern. Sorry, Andreas. Yeah, she's a very good player. There's no doubt about that. But that never seemed very likely, did it? Let's be totally honest. Emerson says there, for you, Rich, do you think we will have a strong lineup when we play Linköpings in the Champions League qualifiers if we win and the French team after? Well, that's quite soon, isn't it? We've had a lot of players who got deep into the World Cup, didn't we? All the Swedes. Yeah, it's quite soon, isn't it? So, will it be our strongest lineup? No, I wouldn't imagine it will be. But having said that, you know, we've still got a lot of players who've been training. So I think it'll be a reasonably strong side. I wouldn't have thought Russo was going to play in those games. I wouldn't have thought Lotta Ruben-Moyle play in those games. I wouldn't have thought any of the Swedes are going to play in those games, because they're only just getting back from the World Cup now. They need a holiday, they need a rest, and then they need to start some pre-season, don't they? So I don't think any of those will play.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think most of the others should be available, shouldn't they? Obviously, the ones that aren't injured, I think Kim Little will probably almost definitely play. Leah Walty will probably play. You know, the goalkeepers, either of the two goalkeepers will play, won't they? So, Pallova, I don't know, because, you know, Holland went quite far. I don't know whether she'll be available. Katharina Kuhler will be available because she went home early. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be a reasonably strong side. We, you know, but it's not going to be 100% our strongest team, is it? Because of the circumstances of it. And you can understand why, because, you know, they've all just got back from the World Cup. So, it'll be a reasonably strong team. But, yeah, there'll be a lot of players not ready to play because they've just got back from competing in a World Cup, which doesn't happen very often, does it? LG says they're the qualifiers only 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah, that's what I mean. So they're here already and the players are going on holiday. All the ones that's just got back from the World Cup will be on holiday, won't they? So it's mad, isn't it, really, when you think about it. It's crazy. The schedule is crazy. You know, we spoke about this before. I mean, what can you say? Terry says, am I chatting facts? Am I always chatting facts? What are you on for? It's what we're bringing on for. That's what it is. So yeah, we all agree it's been a great World Cup. So let's just have a couple of little awards that we'll give out for the World Cup. It's been so good. First of all, I didn't really get a lot of time to prepare much of this, just because I've just been so busy this weekend. But why don't we start with our best match of the tournament? Andreas, what was your favourite match of the tournament? A lot to choose from, but what one stuck out mostly for you?
Difficult to say. I must look at the table.
Yeah, go ahead.
Best match.
That's tough.
It's tough to say. I mean, in the group stage, maybe it was the Spain-Japan with the outstanding performance from Japan. And then in the knockout stage, I mean, the Spain-Sweden was a fantastic match.
Yeah.
Also, ours against Australia, our semifinals was very good. The final definitely was not the best match of the tournament.
No, it definitely wasn't.
Yeah. So, I think LG's
gone with South Africa freely. Oh, yeah, that's too. Yeah, that's a game, isn't it? That was a good game. I quite like the Australia against, was it Nigeria when they lost, when Nigeria won 3-2.
3-2, that was close. That was a good game.
I enjoyed that game. Emerson's gone with Spain versus Sweden. That was dramatic, wasn't it? It was certainly dramatic at the end. Obviously, from England's point of view, it was a semi-final against Australia. It was a game I enjoyed the most. I thought we played well. Had some late drama, the third goal and stuff. That was good. LG, Australia versus France.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I'd probably give it to a couple of penalty shootouts. A Sweden-USA shootout and Australia-France shootout.
Yeah, that was. The Australia-France one was a good penalty shootout, wasn't it? There was some good penalty shootouts. I mean, to be honest with you, the fact that there's been such a spread of different games goes to show how good the tournament was. Sometimes in a tournament, there's one game that sticks out or two games that stick out as being the best. But in this one, there's been so many really good games. It's difficult to maybe nail it down to just one, isn't it? There's so many good performances. I mean, Emma, what would have been your favourite game, do you think?
That's difficult. I know, jokingly about the penalty shootouts. But yeah, I mean, it's really tough. I also thought the Spain-Netherlands quarterfinal was really good as well. I know the Netherlands were likely outplayed in that game. But yeah, again, it's really difficult to call. But yeah, I'd say probably that's up there. One or two of the group games that went 3-2 as well. But it's really difficult to come up with a particular game. But I'd say probably those knockout games, one or two of the knockout games, they didn't have many goals in them, but they weren't short drama and excitement. So yeah, probably have to choose between one of those in the end. Yeah.
No, absolutely. They did have a lot of drawing in here. What have we got here? LG says you could also throw in Germany and Colombia for pure drama. Well, that late drama there was actually. That was exciting finish, wasn't it? And obviously a big shock result as well, which always kind of makes the game seem better, don't it, when you get a shock result. Maybe Emerson says the best penalty shootout of France and Australia. Yeah. I don't know. The USA one was pretty good as well, wasn't it? But that France-Australia one was good as well, yeah. There was a good penalty. And of course, the England penalty shootout was good, wasn't it, against Nigeria, because we won.
Yeah.
So that made that a good one. But maybe didn't quite have the drama of some of the other ones, did it? That's for sure. I think, obviously, my favourite England game was the Australia one. I think we'll all probably agree with that. It was such a great game, wasn't it? To reach a final was just fantastic. But I actually did enjoy that Australia-Nigeria game. I thought that was exciting.
Yeah.
Lots of good goals. I kind of enjoyed watching that game, actually. So that was probably one I enjoyed the most that didn't involve England. But there was a lot to choose from. Yeah, the Spain-Sweden game was good. In fact, Sweden had a couple of good games. There was one in the group, though. A couple of them they played now. That was
South Africa?
Might have been South Africa, yeah. That was. There's one Sweden game in the group I watched and thought, wow, that was a great game. I enjoyed that one as well. So it was lucky, wasn't it? Let's be honest. There were so many good games. What would we say was the moment of the tournament, Andreas? What was your sort of best moment of the tournament?
Best moment of the tournament.
Again, that's quite tricky, isn't it? There's lots of big moments.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For Spain, the moment of the tournament was their goal in the final. But I would see Sam Kerr's goal against us because she, as I said in last show, she was the face of the tournament, the hero of a whole country, and then being out for the group stage and coming back in and scoring this fantastic goal. This was one of the moments of the tournament. And then another one was, of course, in the penalty drama, Australia versus France, the last penalty was Australia through semi-final. This was another outstanding moment.
It was. That was a great moment. Yeah. I mean, I quite enjoyed. One of my favourite moments was Megan Rapinoe putting her penalty into the crowd. That was quite good. I enjoyed that, actually. That was one of my favourite moments. But probably from an England perspective, I think that the best moment for me was probably Alessia Russo's goal against Australia to seal
the
moment. I mean, Amar, what would be your moment of the tournament?
Going back so many. I think there's a few, but Hempo's no-look pass for Russo's goal was very underrated, was not mentioned a lot in many circles as well. The no-look pass. Or you could say the fact that when Australia beat France on penalties, the fact that they were showing it on some airlines and they were showing the drama they were watching on the little screens in the plane, which is quite funny as well.
Yeah,
was most dramatic. I think the most dramatic moment, a great moment, was when Lena Hurtig's penalty thought she didn't think it crossed the line and then it went to VAR. And then the referee said, it's crossed the line. And then Sweden just went wild after that. So, yeah, that was really good as well. So it's difficult to pick
that was a great moment, actually. I've forgotten about that. Yeah, that was a great moment. And it was a strange moment as well because, as far as I'm aware, in a penalty shootout, the goalkeeper can't touch the ball twice anyway. and the goalkeeper saved
it.
Yeah,
double touch. Yeah, double touch.
Back. Even if it hadn't crossed the line, wouldn't have been allowed. So we probably would have counted anyway. But yeah, that was a great moment. Yeah, LG Portugal hitting the bar and also eliminating USA. They nearly did the thing. Yeah, if that had gone in, if that goal had gone in instead of hitting the post, I think that would have been one of the big moments, wouldn't it? Because that was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was a load of great moments. But yeah, we've got some great moments, haven't we? Which is good. Obviously, in the end, the player of the tournament did go to Bon Matty, of course, as we saw today.
Yeah, deservedly.
Performance day. But were there any other players for you, Andreas, maybe stood out in this tournament that maybe deserve a mention for player of the tournament?
The young Colombian player, Linda Caicedo.
Linda Caicedo, yeah.
They went out too early that she got in this category award of the tournament, but she's such a talent, and she played her third World Cup, the U17, the U19, and now the Adult World Cup in 1 year or in 8 months. So, she's one of the outstanding players of this tournament. The Japanese striker, I can't remember.
Miyazawa.
Yeah, she scored 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah.
This was fantastic performance. And who else? Of course, Bon Matty, outstanding for Spain for the whole tournament. Yes, I think she deserved to be player of the tournament.
Yeah,
I think she did. I mean, I don't think there's much doubt, really. But, you know, there's been some great performances. LG's gone with Amanda. Yeah, I mean, she had a great tournament, didn't she? Four goals from centre-back in a World Cup.
Nearly won the Golden Boot.
She almost did. If she'd got one against Australia, she would have got the Golden Boot, wouldn't she? Or she would have tied for it anyway. So, yeah, that would have been amazing. First defender probably ever to win a Golden Boot out of tournament, which would have been incredible. Terry says, my moment... Germany not a worst moment. Germany not making semi-finals. I lost my £20. But you know what I mean. It was a bad moment for Andreas as well. But anyway,
you with the Jerry.
Emerson says heartwarming moment was Australia players consoling the Japanese players after their win. Yeah, that was a nice moment, wasn't it? When that happened, and the Japanese were a credit to the tournament, weren't they? They played some great football. We enjoyed to watch
that. Oh no, I don't remember that.
Emma, what was your moment of the tournament?
The player of the tournament.
Player of the tournament.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, the Spanish could pick any one of the Spanish players as well, but you could go to any of them as well. I mean, of course, we mentioned Alex Greenwood and Descartes, who are actually fantastic for us as well. Anyone else for him as well, Russo. Anyone, I suppose you have to look at the one or two of the Japanese players. They were really good and. Who else? I mean, it's really, really difficult to pick one, but yeah, it's. I would probably also mention one or two of the Australian players as well. They had breakthrough tournaments. It's really difficult, but ultimately, best players came from the best team, and that was Spain. So yeah, I mean, it's really difficult. You could pick out anyone, but I think Bon Matty was probably deserving of the award in the end.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's much doubt. She definitely deserved it. I mean, from an Arsenal perspective, a lot of the Arsenal players are decent. We've mentioned Amanda Rillestad there with her goals. I thought Steph Catley and Caitlin Ford had really good
goals
for Australia. Yeah, of both of them two played really, really well, I thought. I thought that, you know, obviously Russo had a great tournament for England. Not so much today, but overall she's had a great tournament, didn't she? Scored a lot of goals, contributed massively to us getting to the final. So, you know, it's been a good tournament for a lot of the Arsenal girls, hasn't it, over there. I thought Stina, although she only scored one goal, I thought Stina had a decent tournament, actually. I thought she played good football. She did well. She didn't get the goal.
Yeah, 2 assists.
Maybe her career at Arsenal is a little bit like that, isn't it? You know, she plays really well, works really hard, but doesn't always get as many goals as we would like her to get. Wayne says there, Bon Matty, definitely the best midfielder in the world right now. Putea still isn't fit. Well, clearly not. So I'm going Bon Matty for Ballon d'Or. Yeah, she's got a great chance, Bon Matty, of getting Ballon d'Or this time, hasn't she? Putea clearly wasn't fit because she only played the last 5 minutes of the final, didn't she? So clearly she's not fit. So he says, my best moment, sorty Emma, not being on. Yeah, well, you know, I quite enjoyed her when she was on. She was quite funny, actually. But yeah,
she's
She's good as a pundit, Emma. I don't like her when she's managing Chelsea, obviously. But, you know, that's only because they tend to beat us quite often in big games. But she's all right, Emma, isn't she? Let's be fair. You know, when she's not managing Chelsea, she's doing other stuff. She's great. when she's managing Chelsea, we don't like her. So finally then, I know this is going to be, we probably won't be able to come up with one of this. Goal of the tournament. We'll finish with goal of the tournament because there were so many great goals. What ones stick out? And is there any goal in particular you can remember that sort of sticks out as being one of the great goals? There's been so many. Sam Kerr we mentioned already.
Yeah, it's difficult because I mostly saw only the highlights, so it's difficult to remember. What I remember is the Sam Kerr goal against us. Then the Caicedo goal for Colombia against Germany.
Yes. Yeah.
And Alessio Russo's goal against Australia. I don't remember more than if you mention more outstanding goals, then I will remember. But three come to my mind.
You're right. I mean, I can't remember a lot of the goals, but the same because it was against us, obviously. That one definitely. I thought Ella Toon's goal against Australia was good as well.
Yeah.
I suppose we have to maybe mention Chloe Kelly's penalty against Nigeria, which was apparently the whole ever recorded in the history of football. So that's got to get a mention, hasn't it? Because she did absolutely hammer that, didn't she? You know, there was no stop. Which was great. LG's gone. Brazil third goal versus Panama.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
Now you mentioned that was that little one when they laid it back, didn't they? A lovely move and little back heel, and then she fired it into the net. Yeah, that was a great goal, actually. Wayne says there's a shout for the Colombia goal. I don't think she meant that, though. Now, I think that was a cross, so I don't really think we can give that as a goal. She didn't mean it as a goal. I don't think she did. Maybe she did, but I don't know. I'm a bit sceptical. Looking at the replay, I think she just meant to cross it. You know, Lucy Bronze tried one, didn't she, as well, and it nearly went in. Terry says Toon's goal was a cracker. It was, yeah. Toon's goal was a cracker. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Emerson says there, Jonas has said the Spain number 10 deserved the FIFA Female Player of the Year, and my goal in the tournament was Casado. Yeah, Casado was a great goal. Spain number 10 is Hermoso, isn't it? Which we don't really like her. So, no, we're not going to give anything. I didn't like her today, so she's not getting anything from me. Laurie James, volley in China, says, Wayne, yeah, that was a good goal, actually. Yeah, that was a very good goal. And, of course, I won against Denmark as well, the first goal that she scored.
I was going to mention that
was a good goal, yeah. Wayne says it was a cross. Yeah, of course it was a cross. We know it was a cross, so that's fine. That doesn't count. LG says she did mean it, actually. Only looked towards the goal. No, she didn't mean it. She definitely didn't mean it. She, of course, you look towards the goal. You do. If you're out wide, you're going to cross the ball. You look towards the goal, and so because that's where you want to put the ball into that area, don't you? But she didn't mean to shoot and score. It went in, so it's fair enough. And it was a good goal, but she didn't mean it. So she's not going to win goal at the tournament because it was a cross. It was, there was a lot of good goals and a lot of good performances. It's been a great tournament, hasn't it? And I'm gonna miss it, actually. I'm gonna miss watching the game, watching the highlights and following it all. I'm gonna miss it. So but shame it didn't finish in the way we all wanted today, because we had such high hopes, didn't we, that England were finally gonna win a World Cup for the first time in 57 years. Would have been amazing, wouldn't it? And I never felt in that game confident that we were ever going to win it. It wasn't like, backed away from us. I never felt we were going to win it, actually. Says there that Pop header versus Morocco is underrated. I remember that. She got a couple of headers that game, didn't she? I know the one you mean. That was a good goal. I mean, there were so many. If we went for every game, we could probably find a lot more good goals. But I suppose if we're looking at it from an England point of view, I think England's best goal was probably Lauren James's one against Denmark, actually. The way she cut in and hit it into the corner. So that probably should be maybe England's best goal. A shame there wasn't one more or two more today that we could have been talking about that turned that game around. But anyway, it's been a good tournament. England did really, really well. And I think that even though today was very disappointing, we've got to be proud of them, haven't we? We've got to be proud of these girls.
Sure. They've done
two finals in 2 years. In fact, you know, I've never seen an England senior team, either men or women's, play in a final. And now 3 years in a row, the 2021 Euros, the 2022 Euros, and now the 2023 World Cup.
Who's to say come before next year?
Well, let's hope it is for next year. Yeah. Hopefully, we might win another one, which would be nice. But yeah, no, it's been England. English football has never been better, really, has it? With the men and the women at the moment, in terms of how we're performing in tournaments. I'm not saying that the England men's team are the best England men's team ever, but they're progressing in tournaments consecutively, a quarter final at the last World Cup, and high hopes, obviously, for the next Euros. So we'll see. Terry says the Dutch scored some blinders. Yeah, they did actually. Yeah, I mean, the Dutch always score good goals, don't they? It's kind of what they do. They don't score tappings often, do they? The Dutch.
Yeah, I was going to refer to that actually and say the two goals by Esme Brooks against Vietnam, the ones who scored them both in the corner. Those are
special. Ah, yes, actually, they were crackers, weren't they? They were a great guy. And then she had another one against someone else as well, didn't she? A similar sort of goal, winning in the top corner.
Was it Abiera's goal?
I don't remember that. But, I mean, there's been so many great goals, hasn't there, to be honest? Brooks goals were good, weren't they? Yeah, so it's been a great tournament. And I say, you know, although it didn't get the finish we all wanted and the finish we hoped for, I say we have to be proud of them, don't we, these girls, what they've done, and Serena as well, absolutely fantastic. I mean, Andreas, you're proud of what the Lionesses have done this the World Cup?
Absolutely, and you can't compare it with the Euros last year. Just to remember that we were missing three key players before the tournament, and nobody said that without these three key players, we will win the World Cup. And now we were so close, only one step was to be done. So the team and the coach did well with these bad circumstances. And so I think we can be proud of the whole team, proud of Serena. We reached the final in the Euros, we reached the final in the World Cup. We are European title holders and now runners-up in the World Cup. Fantastic achievement. And what's more, it's only Lucy who might have played her last big tournament. The other players are still young players or are at the peak of her career or coming to the peak of their career. And Beth Reed will come back. Leah Williamson will be back for the next Euros, definitely. And even Fran Kirby can be an alternative for the Euros. She's, I think, 29. So, we have players who have played big tournaments. We have young players. There's a lot of talent coming. And the injured players are coming back. So, fantastic tournament, great achievement. We are runners-up in the World Cup. That's really reason to be proud of the whole team.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you're right, you know, these players, most of these players in this squad have got at least one more tournament in them, haven't they? If not two. Some of them, a lot of them will have two as well, won't they? Yeah. That's a good point. No, a lot of the players on the bench didn't really play much, did they? Younger players, Katie Zellum, obviously Lauren James made a big impact. She's going to be around for a few tournaments yet, isn't she? You know, it's looking, the future's looking pretty bright, isn't it? And I'm sure there's going to be other players will start to make their mark over the next couple of years as well, heading towards the next World Cup. Of course, while we've got Serena in charge, anything's possible, isn't it? Possible. The sky is the limit as it is. So, yeah, it's going to be great. You're right. And, we should be. It's important, isn't it, Amar, that we don't lose. You know, it's disappointing to lose the final. Of course it is. And the performance today wasn't great. But we mustn't lose track of the achievement to reach back-to-back finals in two consecutive years is an incredible achievement, isn't it, for any international team. So it's even more so for us because we don't often do stuff like this, do we?
No. It's important that the legacy going forward is cemented or started last year. Going forward, you know, the overriding feeling will be one of disappointment. When they look back at it, you see how much adversity the team has overcome. and look at what they have going forward. The strength and depth is arguably the best it's ever been. Yeah, they'll look, as I said, it'll be disappointment, but they've created so many, or they've just inspired so many young girls going forward. It's important we build on this. The funding goes into more, and more funding goes into the women's game going forward. And yeah, and who knows, there might be, going forward, they continue to build upon what the girls have achieved. And who's to say, yeah, now we are a major force in world football again. There were times in the past, and you look under previous management, thinking, oh, where are we going? Especially when you had Hegger and Phil in charge, for example. Let's not think about that. But under Serena, he completely transformed the way the game is looked and interpreted. He would definitely become a major player on the world stage. And going forward, that's going to be the case in not just for this World Cup, but for many tournaments going forward. And there's conveyor belt talent from somebody like Maya Letizia in there, for example, who's got a great career going forward. She could definitely be an integral part of the squad going forward, for example. So, yeah, it's important that they build upon this and that the more young girls get the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of their heroes if that's what they want to do is their careers.
Exactly, and I think that's probably going to end up being the most important legacy that this group of players is going to leave, isn't it? The fact that football is now going to become a lot more accessible to young girls, which they never had when they was younger, did they? I mean, there's so many stories that we've heard about these players when they were younger at school, weren't allowed to play football, had to play in boys' teams, all this kind of stuff. So, that's going to probably be the biggest legacy. But certainly in terms of the top-level football, what it's done for women's football in this country in particular the last couple of years has been incredible. You know, and it's going to carry on to the new season. There's no doubt about that. And we can't wait for it to start in a few weeks' time. Well, 6 weeks, maybe, till the actual season starts. But we've got our European qualifiers to come. And I'm going to be at the Stadium of Light to see the homecoming of the Lionesses when they play against Scotland in the Nations League.
Oh, you've got tickets for that. No.
We've got tickets for that, yes. Yeah, so that's going to be really looking forward to that. Hoping they were going to bring the World Cup trophy around the pitch and show us, but unfortunately they won't be able to do that.
Right,
it would have been nice against Scotland, wouldn't it, to show Scotland this is what winning a trophy looks like, but unfortunately. they'll get a great reception, I'm sure. And that's going to be good. So looking forward to that one, yeah. But yeah, the season starts soon. Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait for that. It's going to be so good. So World Cup is over. It's quite a sad time, but England... Mm. Outdid what we expected at the start. We said on this show, didn't we, a few weeks ago at the start of the tournament, quarterfinal, semi-final, we'd be happy with. Yes. As it's turned out, we're disappointed that we didn't win the final. That just goes to show the steady improvement that we made. All the players and Serena and everybody else, the coaching staff, deserve massive credit for what they've achieved this summer, last summer, and hopefully more summers to come forward as well. But yeah, great stuff, isn't it? And it's just such a shame, isn't it? Such a shame. We say that we've got LG says they're breaking news. Olga Corona's passed away hours before the final. Olga only learned about the passing after the final.
That's sad.
Well.
Oh, heartbreaking for us.
It's for the winning goal as well. So you know what a kind of great moment it is in a sense, isn't it? That she was able to do that. But yeah, that's really sad, isn't it? Actually,
no,
I'm
sorry.
I mean, you know, to score a winning goal in a World Cup final is probably the greatest moment of your life. And then to hear that afterwards must have, you know, what a mixed emotion day it's been for her. So the World Cup's over and we can look forward now to the start of the new season, which is going to be great, I'm sure we agree. It's a shame it couldn't quite finish how we wanted it to, with Millie going up and lifting that trophy this morning would have been fantastic. But anyway, next time, there's always next time, another tournament to come. I'm sure we'll bounce back. Don't forget, tomorrow night I am back for the Arsenal game against... Oh, yeah, there was a T-shirt. He said, yeah, that explains the T-shirt. So, yeah, I saw she had something on her T-shirt. I didn't understand what it meant. I can't really see it, actually. But maybe that's what it was then. Right, okay. Because she did have something written on there, didn't she? That's really sad news. That's really, really, really bad. I'll be back tomorrow for the Arsenal Crystal Palace game. At 7:45 for that one. So join me for that if you can. On Tuesday, Adam's here for the Arsenal review. He's going to be looking back at the Palace game, looking at the Fulham at the weekend, and any other talking points that pop up. In the meantime, I'm sure there'll be a few from the game tomorrow. And then, of course, at the weekend, we're playing Fulham. I'll be covering that game as well. And then... we'll all be back, won't we, very soon for the start of the new WSL season, the European inspired. We'll have a proper Arsenal women's show. I'll be back. And hopefully Matt can be with us as well for that.
Yeah, well, and Harry and Jason and all those other guys.
Yeah, so many people want to get involved. So we'll hopefully be bringing you that, the week when the European games start, a couple of weeks' time, that'll be right. So that'll be with us before we know it. And hopefully there'll be one or two new signings to bring you as well, which would be great, won't it? Because I think we need a couple more, as we said. So loads and loads to look forward to. Terry says, great show, Richard Emmer, the one and only, and man of mystery himself, Andreas. Hit that like button before you go. Yeah, give us a like before you go. I'll be back tomorrow anyway for the Palace game, so join me for that. Andreas, great to see you again. Thank you for your contributions to this World Cup. A shame we didn't get the result we wanted, but have you enjoyed the show again?
I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the World Cup and all the discussions we had in this show for all of the Lionesses matches. It made the World Cup more special to discuss it with you and with our viewers. Yeah, thanks to everyone who was watching us, discussing with us, and having me in the show. I enjoyed the World Cup, the show, and I'm looking forward to the new season.
Indeed, and we've enjoyed your contributions to the show. Am I as well? Good to have you back, Lionel. Have you enjoyed the World Cup show that we've done? Looking forward, obviously, to the new season as well.
Yeah, it's not going to be too long now. We're about to see our favourite players in action, and hopefully it'll be the springboard for success for Arsenal, like with the Conte Cup was, and with all the new signings. One or two would be nice. We've had a great tournament. It always brings everybody together. We love what we do. And it's a shame we have to wait 2 years for the next one. But no, it won't be 2 years before you see this, with us discussing this again. And we'd like to have more people out there. So subscribe to our channel if you can. And you'll get plenty of things to enjoy for the upcoming season. So yeah, no, it's been really good. It's a shame it's over, but it's not long before we will reconvene and do it again. So yeah, thanks for having me on, and I look forward to it again being on again in the not too distant future.
Yeah, we'll all be back soon, right at the start of the new season. Emerson says, good show on points. No, thank you very much, mate, for watching again. Thanks for your contributions. LG says, enjoyed the show, guys. Keep on going. And thanks again, mate, for obviously your comments as well. You've been in the show quite a bit. And to everybody else, Wayne and Terry, of course, as always. Russell's in the chat tonight. There's been quite a lot of people. David as well. And, of course, Michael, our resident Spanish Barcelona fan. I'm sure we'll be hearing a bit more from in the coming season. If Arsenal have to play Barcelona in the Champions League at some point.
No.
We are going to go now, but just do stay with us, because I'm going to play a slightly extended version of their great theme tune for this World Cup song, as it's the last one. It is Pete Drake's song. It is fantastic. And even though the World Cup's over, check out Pete Drake's music. Pete Drake has got Pete Drake Bandcamp, you need to Google. He's got loads of great stuff on there. This is his World Cup song that he made for this World Cup. It was fantastic. This is a slightly longer version of it that we're going to play out with. Thanks to all you guys for watching. Thanks to Andreas and Amar, as always. All you guys watching, give us a like. I will see you tomorrow for the Arsenal game. Come on, you Lionesses. Didn't quite come home, did it? But it's not far off, is it? It's coming home one day. It will come home soon, don't you worry. Take it easy, guys. And this is Pete Drake.
Rising star, Lionesses, here we go.